This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, February the 14th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, Uncle Mo. How are you?
Doing well. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, always good to have you. And also with us is LG Jones. How are you, LG?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Good. And also with us, back with us again, I should say, is Brian Taylor. How are you? Long time no see.
Long time no see. Happy Valentine's Day to you, and a shout out to my wife, Leanne, in Williamsburg.
Oh, that was very important. I tell you, let me back up and let the other two, Algie and Uncle Mo, go ahead. Get a shout out to the wives, so it'll be peace at home.
It's my first time meeting you, sir, and you got the setup all ready to go. Happy Valentine's Day, Sharon.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Karen.
There you go. Rebounding here. And also behind the scenes is Niles Johnson, as well as Noah Johnson, Marcus Evans, and Mr. Free. We want to thank you all for being here today, and also to all our listening friends from coast to coast. I want you to join the conversation. Join in by calling 804-321-1010 or our toll-free number, 844-321-1010, or you can text us at TanyaFree 63975, or download the TuneIn app by dialing 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AMFM 247. Let's get started. Let me say it's Black History Month, and last week we had a real deep discussion about our history. And, you know, a lot of what's going on with us is that we don't know who the heck we are. And the truth be told, Black history is every day. Not only, you know, February the month, 28 days, but the truth be told, it is really every day. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Yes, I would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uncle Mo, you didn't say anything.
We've shaped this country since the country was even, since before the country officially existed. I mean, the only people who are assisting in we're doing a great job of erasing our own history. We forget our history probably once every about like 20 years or so. We do good for about 10 years, and then we slack off, and then something sparks it, and before you know it, the conversation comes back up, and we kind of slip and slide every now and then. You know, this country is not going to tell our history.
Right. Tell our story. You're right.
It's not even the point they're not even telling our story well.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling our story bad. They're not even telling our story at all.
Right, this is true.
We're the only ones blowing this trumpet, and we're forgetting to do it.
This is very true. We need to talk about it every day. The fact of the matter, we live it every day.
And I was going to say to this young man right here, we need more young men like him with guts enough to get up and stand up and do it, because that's the only way we're going to get to where we need to get, because a lot of people are being bought. They're being used. They're, by some kind of way of manipulation, they're getting us to erase our history and or forget about it or sit on the sidelines quietly. So props to this young man over here. We just need some strong leaders out here.
Well, let me do this. I want to go back to the comments that we received last week with regards to whether or not our history is relevant. Niles, you want to read those comments?
Yes. See, Jesse said, by making history by mentoring our youth. Lauren said, by expanding our knowledge of self. Madison says, by stopping this Black history and celebrate American history. We fought for inclusion, yet you people continue to separate yourselves.
Okay, well, stop right there. Go back to that one. By erasing what now? What was that?
Madison.
Yeah, the one about erasing Black history and telling, what was it?
American history.
Go back
American
to that
history.
One.
Erasing the idea of Black history and just telling American history?
Well, hold on. By stopping this Black History Month and celebrate American history. Okay. We fought for inclusion, yet you people continue to separate yourselves.
Okay.
Everything is not about race.
Well, we know what that's about. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know what they're
I'll
saying.
I'll address her in a minute.
Yeah, I'm behind you on that addressing her.
You can get out front if you like. It's all right. There's room.
Well, let me just say, if they're talking about inclusion, there's no inclusion. I've been around on this earth 55 years, and I don't see inclusion even to this day. People in office, there's no inclusion. So we've been fighting, and we're still fighting for a place at the table. And all we're looking for is equality or to be treated fairly, and we can't even get that in America. So we're not asking them to give us something or put us up on a pedestal above somebody. We just want equal standing at the table, and we don't get it.
Yeah, there's no the playing field has never been level. I have no problem with the beginning of what you're talking about, get rid of this Black History Month, even though I'm not in favor of that. I'm more so in favor of telling American history. But American history is not popular. You don't want the truth to really be told, because if you tell the truth about what's going on or what has happened in this country since its inception, it is not going to be pretty. And you're going to put a lot of people in bad positions that you don't want. People who do not look like me do not want people who look like me to tell you what you do. Mm-hmm. You are not in favor of that at all. So I'm going to blow the trumpet for Black History Month all day long, but I'm also going to tell the truth about who you are. Because I know good and well with my counterparts, the rest of the pink toe crowd, when my counterparts hear the truth about what's going on, before you, the whole idea is this whole, now the phrase is to switch the narrative. Let's switch the narrative. You need to change the optics on this situation to make sure that not only I don't look good, but you don't look bad. And that's the history you want to tell. I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah. Okay, I think you all addressed that. Go ahead now.
Okay. Curious said, why do you focus on the past and not the future? Anthony says, by organizing to get Trump out of the White House. Chris says, I don't think it is needed. It only divides us. Leonard says, by showcasing today's Black leaders in our community. Longtime listener said, we cannot know where we are headed if we don't know where we came from.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Jerome Jackson said, by making a difference in someone's life. Longtime listener says, educate with new media. Harold says, by include the African Latino community into the discussion.
That's a good idea.
Jerome Legion says, Black History Month has to be more about celebrating our achievements. Currently, we just post them randomly on random sites. We have so much chatter about the celebration will cause us to pause and take notice. This is the perfect time to do voters' registration drives. Got out to vote campaigns. Take kids out to Black History Museums, and award scholarships to college and high school students. Tara Elias says, I celebrate every month by becoming a positive role model and helping young mothers achieve their goals. And Rommel, I think so, says, teach our children our story before we were enslaved. How else will they know unless we teach them? I teach mine for sure. What will happen? I don't know, but I'm trying.
Okay. Any comments?
I'd like to comment on the statement about the past history. Without the past history, we couldn't get to the future. Kids, this day and time, I was listening to somebody this morning stating that now you have all kinds of means of getting Black history. The youngster can go on the computer now. You know,
right.
That's a viable means of learning some of the past history and can bring you up to date. But we really need to focus, to me, we really need to go back, and the parents need to focus on trying to learn the youngsters or their kids or the households.
Right.
About Black history.
Yeah. As opposed to all this hoopla that we're listening to on TV, this rhetoric, you know,
right.
Reality TV type hoopla is what I'm talking about. How many shows do we actually see on TV, like what you're saying, that actually focus on our history, or we as a people, the positive aspect
of us? Put us in a positive light.
Right, in a positive light.
Me and my wife, we were talking about it the other day. My youngest son, who was 11, y'all know Mo. Mo's he's an old soul, I guess you call him. He is infatuated now with watching The Cosby Show. The old
really?
Cosby Show. It doesn't get much better than that for him. And me and the wife, we were talking about, you know what, this is, you can say what you want about Bill Cosby. That's not this show. He put Black people in this country in a different light.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
To
I
the
agree
point
with that.
Where it stuck. It was in your face. We were no longer, you know, having to run and starve to get roles and being featured as, you know,
the black
pimps.
Right.
Prostitutes.
Or pushers, in poverty. Drug good deals, times.
Poor, broke, never made it. Ain't got a chance of making it. And looking for something to get out the ghetto. It's a positive. Doctors, lawyers, I don't care what you're doing, you're going to make it to the collegiate ranks. Because the education avenue is the only way you're going to have an opportunity in this country without finding a way to hit the lottery. And we don't play lotto here. So that image is lost right now.
Right.
We're starving to get it back.
Well, I say Blackish is probably the closest thing, or for the most part, the 21st century of that, of the Cosby Show. I like Blackish. I think it's positive.
It was a early form of hope being infused into the African American community to say, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, mm-hmm. you can live in a middle America, a great home. And then to even going forward to our 44th president, if you work hard enough, you can become the first president of the United States. That's the hope that was infused and it started with,
And it wasn't driven as a stroke of luck why how it happened.
Exactly.
Right.
This guy didn't make it big because something happened in his life and bam, nah. He came from parents who went to college.
Yeah, education.
Right. Or like you said, parents that taught their children, didn't rely on the school system. For their education, for everything, they instill some value, some integrity in their children, in the home, in the household, talking about old shows. Now they show the Good Times. Now back in the day when Good Times came out, I used to watch it all the time because, you didn't have a lot of black shows on TV.
Right.
Now I can't stand to watch it. I cannot for the life of me stand to watch Good Times.
I agree.
It's just something about it. I look at it in a totally different light now.
It's a different time, a couple of decades later. But for me, it was entertainment. It was a lot of fun. Just like I could look back at Sanford and Son. I'll go on YouTube and look at Sanford and Son. I crack up all day.
Now I can watch that because it's funny. Something about that is a little different than Good Times. Good Times just make my skin crawl.
It was a struggle. It was a story, but it was a struggle. That's what Good Times is about. And they made
it. I still watch it.
Yeah.
I still watch it.
It's how you look at it.
I mean, the storyline was... it was a little hard sometimes.
Right.
But the idea was, we're not going to just quit and let the system take us. And almost every episode, it had a message behind it.
True.
We know where we are, but this is not who we are.
Yeah, but it never got done a lot of the projects.
Right, that's the thing.
You never had a chance to see it, though. They did make it out, but you never saw it.
Where did they? I don't remember seeing that episode.
The last episode. It sure was.
I didn't see that episode.
The very last episode, they made it out, but you never saw it.
We know where the Jefferson went. Where did they go?
You never saw it. But they did that. The whole the last episode was about them, their come up, and them getting out of the ghetto. But
when the repeats, I have not seen that episode.
I haven't seen that episode.
Okay, well, I want to see that episode. Maybe I have a different.
The very last episode, yes.
Let's go a little bit. That might be the benchmark for how it was, and Tanya Free doesn't like it, but then you go to the next one. Archie Bunker and George Jefferson fighting and arguing, and George goes off and he's making triple what Archie's making.
Right.
And he's moved over to the east side. He's got a beautiful home. He's got a maid. He's showing people that he started from this place and he went to the next place. And then all the other things, as TV evolved and they had to get real and show people, hey, this
that
is
was a groundbreaking show.
It was the transition
from All in the Family
to
the Jeffersons. That was groundbreaking back then.
Very much so.
That's groundbreaking for today.
It is, very much so. And I think let's go back to the Good Times for a minute. I think Good Times, it made me look as if you were in prison. Like you said, they never got out. And I just have a problem with that. And
but they made it.
I haven't seen that episode. I still haven't seen. And the vision in my head is that they were trapped and locked in poverety. And there was no. And even when it seemed like they were getting ready to get out,
it was a reality.
It was always something that happened
that
pulled them back. I just refuse to accept that being reality.
I agree.
You know, the reality of it, it is still people living in the projects that never got out.
Still that never gets out. You're right.
They die. I mean, they grow old and they
this
die.
Is true.
They have their children, right, their grandchildren, and they're still there. And, we, and these projects are not too far from the front doors of this office
well,
right now.
You're right, but we all have family or somebody we know that live
still lives in a project.
Right, in a project. And I asked the question.
Be okay with that, and that
that's
is the
where
sickness.
I have a problem with that. You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let me say this. Tanya Free, your mentality's up here. Maybe that person's mentality's there, but it's still part of our reality. Because some people say, hey, I'll work at McDonald's for the rest of my life. And some people say, no, I'm going to be a jet fighter pilot. I'm going to go to the Navy, get my license. I'm going to do all these great things.
That's the American experience. That's the history.
And that's why it bothers you, because your brain level is up here saying, go for the clouds. And they're saying, I'm settling. I'm happy with this. And that's just reality of our nature and the people we grew
now,
up
good
with.
Times wasn't about that. They were
they
always,
were trying to get out. Right.
Always hell bent on getting right. out, and things for whatever reason always landed them right back where they were. But like I said, at the very end, the very last episode, they actually did get out, but there was no follow up episode. You never
I'm
saw.
I'm gonna look it up.
I'm gonna Google it. Google it.
I've seen it. I've seen it several times. Like I said, my son loves it. So
while we're talking about poverty and good times and that sort of thing, I want to talk about something that 45 is proposing. He's proposing to revamp. Oh. The food, I'm gonna call it food stamp. It's SNAP, but I'm gonna call it the food stamp. Food stamp program, and we talk about never getting out and being held back. This is one of those situations. If you know have never voted, or you think that voting doesn't make a difference, when the midterms come up in November the 6th, you may want to pay attention, because they're getting ready to revamp it. That if you get more than $90, I believe, a month. You will be opposed to getting all of your food stamps. They're going to send you a box of food.
Make America great again. That's all I can say.
in an attempt to save that money, they're going to send you what the federal government is going to institute as that programmed
right
healthier or healthy foods.
And well, it's not going to be healthy because
well, that's what they said they're going to say.
Well, it's going to save money. It's going to save them billions of dollars, 200 some billions of dollars over a span of time. But look at it this way. That's money that they're taking to help fund this new tax bill. Yeah, right, exactly. So they got to pull it from somewhere. Yeah,
and what's in the food that you... I'm telling you, if I were on food, hearing this, I would be hell-bent to get out of that right now.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I'm talking about voting and making a difference.
And that's where the mentality, that's where when Senator Obama was coming into his own, people were out there pushing the issue. They were signing people up to vote. Once he got in office, a lot of people got lazy and complacent. And then these things, now look where we're at. After 8 years of hard work, we're basically in same place again.
We're backsliding.
Yep. Backsliding is an excellent word.
Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit more. We got to take a break. Today's Praise Break is Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus by Chuck Brown. The Howard University Choir, sponsored by The Choice 105.3 FM in Richmond.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Choice 105.3 FM is turning a year old, and we're celebrating the day we fell in love with radio with the Victorious Valentine. Help us celebrate this special occasion of music, praise dance, poetry, prizes, and much more on Saturday, February 17th at 7 p.m. right here at 141 East Belt Boulevard in Richmond, Virginia. The tickets are only $12 in advance, $15 at the door, and $10 for groups of 10 or more. Hosting the Victorious Valentine will be recording artist DeShera Renee with Richmond recording legend Reverend Cora Harvey Armstrong. From Moments of Power radio show, Minister Cheryl Coleman, recording artist Evangelist Del Fire. And back from her nationwide tour of Evolution of a Black Girl and She Got Issues, Morgan McCoy. And from the rhythm and gospel music charts, recording artist M. Renee. And special guest from the Tanya Free and Friends radio show, it's Tanya Free. Also hosting in the Red Room from the Christian Coffee Shop radio show is Sean P. That's Saturday, February 17th at 7 p.m. Location 141 East Belt Boulevard in Richmond, Virginia, 23224. Tickets only $12 in advance, $15 at the door in groups of 10 and more, only $10 each. For more information, call 804-638-3419. That's 804-638-3419.
Celebrate Black History 365 days a year. Live life with a purpose with Tanya Free and Friends. Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar.
This is Tanya Free. Have behavioral issues affected your child's grades? Does it seem like your child's emotional problems are tearing you and your family apart? Calls from the principal, suspensions, detentions? Call my friends over at Metropolitan Day. Get your child's school year and your family back on track. Call Ms. Thomas today, 804-321-2595. Metropolitan Day, we're eagle free. Inviting you to check out the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. Here, coast to coast on the AM/FM 247 radio network and the AM/FM 247 television network. Join the conversation.
Your business on the map for a lot less than you might think with Freedom Marketing. Text the word ADVERTISE to 63975 or give them a call at 844-321-1010. That's Freedom Marketing, 844-321-1010. Conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018? Because people keep asking me if they can say the N-word in song. No, you can't.
Because people still don't have their together.
Because people are still trying to touch my hair.
Because an all-black cast is still racist, but no one ever complains about too many Sheldons and Chandlers.
Because black activism throughout history has helped pave the way for other minorities to have equal opportunities here in the United States.
Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018?
Because you didn't learn enough about it in school.
So recently I learned that Jack Daniels was made by black people. It was a slave recipe.
There is no reason why we should just learn about his story and his story is white.
Now it kind of shocked me. If it was Hennessy, I would have understood.
I felt mad. I felt lied to.
But the point is, it shows that black history and black accomplishments are always being minimalized or erased for one reason or another.
Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018?
Because things might be bad now, but we've been through worse before.
Because black girls have always been magic.
Because cops are still shooting us and getting away with it.
Because we're still here and our lives still matter.
Because we still have monuments to white supremacists all across the country.
Because it didn't start with Rosa and end with Martin.
Because there are still textbooks that refer to slaves as immigrants and workers. Editorial errors.
Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018?
Because people love to wear black culture without understanding anything about it.
Because black women are paid 63 cents for every dollar white men make.
Because some people think Frederick Douglass is alive 200 years after his birth.
Because to get where we want to go, we have to know where we came from.
Because we're not going back to Africa anytime soon. Low key, my mom's probably gonna go back, but we head with her.
Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018?
Because after Latinx people are black too.
Because black queer folks are too easily forgotten.
Because there's so many different cultures within the black community.
Because the culture didn't start with Migos.
Because this isn't the first time we've had a president who refuses to shut down white supremacists.
Because history shouldn't be the tool of the oppressor. Why do we still need Black History Month in 2018?
Because America
wouldn't be America
without us.
So true. America would not be America without us. Well said. Well said. I want to go back to the food stamp issue we were talking about. And according to the NPR report, like I said, if you receive $90 or more in assistance each month, you will get a packet from the USDA, and it would consist of, shelf-stable milk, ready-to-eat cereal, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned fruits, and vegetables. There will be no fresh fruits or vegetables included.
Are they cutting the money off and giving you the box?
Your money will be...
I mean, the food stamps.
Your food stamps, yes, will be reduced. And what they're going to do, and opposed to giving you... You won't get the money, they're going to send you this box.
Okay.
And they're claiming that they will save money... For the mere fact that they're giving you food, you know, that you're not buying stuff.
They would be saving money.
Yeah, they would be saving billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
And I mean, this helps them to help with that $1 trillion deficit that we've inherited with regards to the new tax bill. So, but it hurts people that are in need of assistance. And who the heck want to, you know... I guess I'm offended by canned fruits and vegetables. That's ugh.
If you let me throw something in there, that's a recipe for diabetes, which is very strong and prevalent in the African American community. You're just throwing sugar at people,
and all that canned stuff is not
good for you. And if you're taking all that sugar in, all you're doing is you're just compounding. The situation already, you're setting yourself up to be a diabetic later on.
Well, I don't
even
know.
Even if you're young.
We were talking during the break back in the day when you did have to get, you know, a box of food, a block of cheese or canned stuff and what have you.
The peanut butter with the oils.
Government cheese.
Government cheese. Thank you.
There you go.
Government cheese.
The huge can of peanut
butter. Yeah, and it didn't even taste like cheese. If you think about it now, it didn't even taste like cheese. But back then, you thought, okay, that's all you had.
That's all you knew.
Right. And so I can only imagine.
I know that much. The grilled cheese sandwiches were good out of
that. Yeah, government cheese. That's all we had.
It worked.
Yeah, but I can imagine now we're going to go back to that.
Again, like I said earlier, make America great again. You take it the way you want to take
it. Why have we not? Why I look back at that, and it wasn't the best of times. So why are we trying to go backwards?
We are not trying to go backwards. The government is taking us backwards. If you're on public assistance, you're receiving food stamps, what can you do about other than vote and get folks out of office that are trying to take you backwards? That's why constantly we have to keep reiterating, people going out to vote during the midterms, not just during a presidential election.
During the general.
Hopefully folks that are on assistance that are not voting will see how important it is for them to get involved in politics and let their voices be heard. And also too with this healthcare, a whole lot of things are going to be slashed. And in order to find the money to fund this new tax bill,
you got to take it from somewhere,
right? Yeah. And folks that don't vote and not get involved, they won't realize it until it actually hits them.
Well, devil's advocate, is the incentive behind that to find a way to get off of the federal government assistance to provide for yourself?
Jobs.
Yeah, jobs. Right. Jobs. So, what assistance are you going to provide for those persons that are in this situation in order for them to get jobs? You're going to have to give them training, education, job training, a whole lot of it. Where the jobs? Where the jobs? That's the question. Where the jobs?
The opportunity has to present itself. But what I'm thinking is, people don't want to just sit there on government assistance all day long. The idea of it was to assist, not to stabilize you. It's to get you from point A to point B, not to sit on point A from here on out. And then you have children. Your children age up and graduate into the exact same system. And then your grandkids age up and graduate into the exact same system. And no one has ever made it to second base because they're too busy just standing on first.
Right.
The idea has got to be at some point, get off this mess and achieve on your own. Now you have a bigger discussion. How are you going to do that? But it doesn't make sense to me. I can see where they're coming from, but there's a lot of holes in the bucket with that.
Oh yeah, I have no problem with with the program, the SNAP program being revamped. But don't just throw people out there with no assistance to help them to get out of the situation that they're in.
There's no supplements, and even going back and trying to address the whole thing between jobs and the other things that we need in the community. The young kids were talking about why we need Black History Month, because we pledge allegiance to a flag, and then at the end of that pledge of allegiance, we say for liberty and justice for all. There is no liberty and justice for all. So that's why we're fighting. That. That's what we're fighting for, and we're not on the same playing field. That's why these people, they're going to do whatever they want to do, and that's going to keep us in a place where we cannot rise up, and that's where we're at today.
Well, it's going to be interesting because as I was doing some research, I saw a report where it says there are 40-some million people on food stamps or SNAP. Ooh. And 43% were white and 33%, somewhere 40-some percent were white and 30-some percent were Black. So we were talking about his base. How would his base react to this?
Let's take a look. People lie. Numbers don't. Mm-hmm. Let's look at these demographics. Who is going to be affected by this? Of course, it's going to affect a lot of people across the board. But when you start looking at these color lines, and let's just go ahead and be honest, it has always broken down the color lines in this country.
Right.
Stop lying to yourself. I ain't lying to myself. I know exactly where I live. The base that does not have an appropriate amount of melanin in their skin, that number is significantly higher. You're talking about 10% higher. That's a big number. You're talking about millions of dollars, billions of dollars. That's a lot of money.
Well, but the thing is
that's a lot of people being affected.
Well, but the thing is this. We were just talking how things are just done with this administration, no rules, no regulations, and that sort of thing. Even though the SNAP program is made up of majority white, it doesn't mean that they will be affected in that manner. Because just like you got, redlining and that sort of thing, how do you know that, this new proposal will not affect them, maybe like it affects us. You can see it when you go into grocery stores in various areas. Certain things are sold here that may not be sold over here. And how that works is just amazing. So they know who it will affect and how they're affecting the program will affect who.
I'll give you something that's side by side with that, and it's a different topic altogether. When crack cocaine came on the scene, They said, let them kill themselves, let them take it. Now opioids is out here, and it's affecting mostly the white community. Oh, it's an epidemic. We need to do something about it. We need to fix it. It's the cards in the deck is stacked, basically. And it's not right. And that's why I said liberty and justice for all. Until we get liberty and justice for all, it's never going to be right. And that's why things are the way they are today.
And that's why it bothers me when we get caught up in all this rhetoric about Porter and you know, yes, I'm concerned about the abuse and folks not being vetted properly. But there are other things going on behind the scenes that affect us more immediately than all of that rhetoric and hoopla. Right. You know, it bothers me that this story, to me, should have been, talked about far more. I mean, I just happened to run across it as I'm doing research. I haven't seen anything on, you know, most of the mainstream medias about it. You know, they keep talking about Porter, which happened. That situation happened last week, how he was able to get, you know, clearance or whatever with regards to the abuse that he assaults with his wives and ex-girlfriends and that sort of thing. Yeah, why are we still talking about that?
That's their plan. That's always a diversion. Every time something good happens, they always divert us back to something negative.
Right.
And they put that in the press all day long.
Yeah, I've been watching most of the morning news, and that's all they've been talking about.
I personally think it's a red herring. If you got 1,000 red herrings and that one thing that they don't want you to find out, they'll throw that one thing in there. But you got all these other things that to look at. You can't even find what they really don't want you to look at and expose them. And that's what it's all about.
Exactly. And this will be, you know, a done deal before those for people that are affected by it realize that this is even an issue, you know, until they receive a box. That's the sad part about it.
November. Go vote.
Hallelujah. Go vote.
We have to keep talking about it.
I'm buying so much popcorn. I'm just going to stockpile it for the week of the election. Oh my God, it's going to be a show to watch. This election season is going to be one of the nastiest we have ever seen. And I really think that a lot of this stuff about this Russian scandal and all these cards are going to hit the table late October.
You think so? You think it's going to take that long?
Why not? I would. I'd do it.
I hope you're wrong about that.
No, it's going to be. They're going to throw all this stuff out here mid to late summer going into probably October. And that's going to have a huge swing on how this election is going to turn.
My question is this. Where are the Democrats?
Where
are the Democrats?
That's an excellent question. Because, I mean, there's like a. I said it before on the show. It's like a bunch of substitute teachers with no lesson plan.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. So we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Taught us facing the rising sun of our new day begun. Let us march on till victory is won.
Tune into Just Jazz on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Join me, Ty Bailey, as I showcase the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's all right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
Sponsorship and advertising for the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show and the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network is provided by Freedom Marketing Incorporated, 844-321-1010, or email us at info@tanyafree.com for more information.
This is Tanya Free. TanyaFree.com is your destination for the best in social and political straight talk, breaking news, commentary, podcasts, music, and more. Stay in the know. Visit TanyaFree.com today.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device,
on your computer,
in your ear,
and interactive.
It's new,
it's innovative,
and it's on your mobile device,
Android,
iPhone,
iPad,
and on your computer.
Take us wherever you go,
because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
I'm going to shift gears a bit. One of our faithful listeners, Grace, commented last week on my blog and said that the show made her be proud to be black. And I want to thank Grace for her support and for listening. And with that comment, we posed this question as to what ethnicity and whatever your ethnicity is, what is it that you're proud about when you think about that? And let me take it a step further. And if you could change your race for a day, would you? Think, y'all think about that for a minute.
I ain't even got to think. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Go ahead, O'Brien.
Look, I am proud of who I am. I didn't get to choose whether to be a black man. God didn't go to my mother's womb and say, Brian, you get to pick. You could be white, black, man. No, I am who I am. I'm glad for the struggles that I've gone through in life. It's made me stronger. And my relationship with my Lord and Savior says it all, that I am who I am, and I should be proud of who I am. And I am no better than my Spanish friend, my white friend, my Mexican friend. I'm equal, and that's what I'm looking for today. That's my mission and my goal in life.
I like the fact that you said you're equal.
Yes.
And you do not feel subservient.
No.
In any way.
Never will let anybody put that on me.
And that's the thing that I hope that, you know, people of color will realize, that you are equal, even though people may not treat you like that. It's how you see and, you know, perceive yourself to be. That's what I think. And I'm with you. Why would I need to be anybody else? I haven't even thought about who else, what other race I would want to be. Have you ever thought about that?
No,
nope.
No.
Never.
You know?
They don't want to be me.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't want to be me. I guarantee that.
Oh, yeah. Probably yeah, not.
There's not a rich white man in America would trade places with me.
I wish they could, though. I wish they could, for the mere fact that if they could, would it give them a different, well, hopefully give them a different perspective?
They've made movies about that conversation.
They wouldn't do that.
About that conversation. Yeah. They have.
I would like to trade places and put them where in the era of good
trade
times.
Places.
Yeah.
Let them have a real reality check of good times.
Well, that's why we have the issues that we have now. And I spoke about having liberty and justice for all, is because that's why, from gerrymandering with the voting and all, they got the cards stacked against different ethnicities and people, because they don't want to change. They don't want you to do better. They don't. We're just saying we just want to be equal. That's why the NFL players are out here doing what they're doing.
Nah,
they don't want us equal.
Here's the deal. Part. There's no such thing as equality. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. I know I'm not equal to them. I'm better than every last one of them. I know this for a fact, because I've done everything I've had with everything you've put against us in our way, and we're still here. No, they already know good and well that we're far superior to them. If we had the same opportunity they had, it's a wrap. It is a wrap. And I really do believe that at the core, those who are in power, they understand that. That's the reason why you have one of the most qualified individuals to run for president since I've been alive to get it, was chopped down and discredited every single opportunity he opened his mouth. You don't want this person with that kind of pulpit to say the right thing, although it may be unpopular to the wrong people. That's just the facts. No, the black man in this country is likely the most dominant thing this country has ever seen. Black people in this country, period. To go through what we've been through and still be on our feet.
Right. We are strong people.
Forget excelling. Just to survive it. They know who we are.
Yeah.
And
it scares them.
And that's where the conditioning comes in. People don't want to be conditioned. Since you were a little boy, you probably had to fight, struggle, and that's made you the man who you are today. Some of these guys or people that have money, they've been pampered. Look, people wiping their butt since they was a little kid, and now they're grown men. And if calamity comes on them, they'll do what they did in 1930s. They'll put a gun in their mouth.
They jump out of windows.
They'll put a gun in their
truly
mouth.
Truly level the playing field in this country for 10 years, and the playing field will tip hard the other direction. It won't be level for me. I know that for sure.
That's why they keep fighting against it.
But it will not be level for me. I mean, I'll go that direction real quick. I'll be the first one on a goddamn horse with a corncob pipe in my mouth. I swear I'll own white slave. You can't tell me nothing about it.
Okay.
I'm going to give you back what you gave me. And in a certain kind of twisted way, don't you earn it? Ain't you deserve that? Haven't you earned that? This country is built on racism. It is.
But
black people are the only ones who don't want to acknowledge this.
Right.
We are where we are because of what has happened to us. If you give us the opportunity to truly level the playing field, you're in trouble.
We're not going to. My thing is this. I'm not going to ask anybody to give me anything because I don't have to.
Oh,
I don't want to oppress the oppressors. They're going to get what they get because of my faith and who I believe in.
Right.
He's going to take care of that
take
for
care
me.
Of that. Right.
I'm good with being equal, and that's all I want. And I want my sons to be equal. That's what I want.
I look at it like Michelle said, when they go low, you go high. And President Obama, how he kept pushing forward and didn't allow them to keep him down.
So when you go low, you
just
cut his leg off.
Being who you are and having confidence in who you are. End of story. Let me go to the comments right quick before we go to the break.
When he dip.
Niles, ready?
What was the question again? If you could change your race, would
you? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jim Roberts X from Human. J. Cross Flem says there is only one race, the human race. Wild Walter Smith says, I go cross the finish line. David Lati says, human.
Just read the first name, that's it.
Okay. Human is a species. There are races and genetically. All human DNA is 99% similar. Jay says, no, there are not races. Jay also says, race is defined as a category or group of people having hereditary traits that set them apart. Which race revolves around the idea of biological traits? Ethnicity is based on a shared culture heritage. Sociologists and other social scientists believe that race is a socially constructed concept.
Let's just answer the question yes or no. My goodness. Go, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about Jay. Go ahead. Okay.
Georgie says, no, I was made in God's image. I love me some me. Jay says, why is this a hard question for some people? Just say yes or no.
Thank you.
There you go.
People trying to get all Deepak Chopra up in here. We know she means ethnic group, but gosh, people say race every day. If you can so-called define the true meaning of race or humanity, etc., then you can just answer the question. Have some fun and stop trying to prove what you know. Hashtag ego, shake my head.
Thank you, Jay. Go ahead.
Okay. Avete, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm black and I will stay black. Richard says, not in a million years, but I will say, so the other races can see if actually feels like I would love to change theirs for about 6 months. Richard also says, there is something very special about the color of my skin, and it wasn't given by no man. Betty says, not for 1 minute. Joan says, no, indeed. I'll pass. Love the way I am and all my blackness. Kevin says, according to Clarence Thompson, it is not that bad. He says he feels cleaner. His blood pressure is normal and his life insurance is cheaper. John says, sure, why not? I might learn something. Lewis says, nope, I'm good. I love my race and the opportunities and challenges that come with it.
Let's see.
Tammy says, not for a minute. Ronald Burton says, why? What purpose would that serve? No, I am perfectly happy with who I am. Let's see. Michael says, the human race, maybe. Leon says, race/ethnicity? No, never. Sean says, nah, as black folks, we endure BS in all our lives, but it's never that serious for me. Brian says, nope, I am who I am, and that's the way God intended me to be.
That's me.
Bennett.
Your name, Brian?
I'm Brian.
Okay. Bennett says, no, and too pretty.
Okay.
Paige says, not even for a nanosecond. Love this tantet in which I dwell. And Jacqueline says, no, I will not change my race. Changing race would not change my experience, past, present, or future. Relationships with family, friends, and others, or health status. My principles are established by generations of strong people. I knew who define me and what I am. Michelle says, just to invisible clear. See, Stewart says, there is no such thing as race. We are all people. The better question is, would you change your humanity for a day if you could? Let's see how many answers we get then. Jay says, or change your culture. Stuart again. No one wants to do that, because everyone has a hobby, and as the more hobbies we have, the more culture we have. So we've allowed our hobbies to determine our culture, in which we determine our race. It's not only the amount of me. Seymour. Hold on. It says Seymour, so I can't read that one. Let's see. Joseph says, nope, love me some me. Ron says, yes, but only for that 24 hours. Mark says, for 24 hours, yes, it would give me invaluable insight. Linwood says, nope, black coffee, no sugar, no cream. Dr. Ituka says, why? I'm black and proud. Samantha says, not in a million years. Lancy says, I'd have to ask my parents, grandparents, and great-parents, etc. Great-grandparents, etc. Barry says, no, was taught never to trade down. Julie says, black, no, black is beautiful. Marilyn says, yes, to see if the mob is really a family. Italian. Wendy says, yes, I would. Curious to see if I would be treated differently and in regard, but I'd wait until after Black History Month.
Wow.
Let's see. Isaron says, social construct. Akin says, nope, Nat Turner might show up. Lisa says, no, I love the skin I was born with. Michael says, being human, no. Being a Martian, no. Being black, hell yeah, no. I think that's how you say it. Dante says, yeah, to wreak havoc, Vic. Georgia says, no, I'm fine the way I am. Yolanda says, not even for a second. Charlene says, no, I'm comfortable with my race, and whoever don't like it, oh well. Roy says, nope, I love being a black man. Stacy says, no, I am who God intended me to be. Tara says, no, my black is beautiful and I wouldn't have it any other way. Gary says, being black Native American makes me stronger. Alvin says, no, I love being me. How do you say the one?
Yvonne.
Yeah. Yvonne says, no, I love my beautiful brown skin. Sharon says, no, I love my blackness, it's beautiful. Sharon also says, or just hell no. Kai says, in Wakanda, we are all one race.
Okay, well, we gotta go. Well, we gotta take a break, go to Black Talk Commentary. Our friend Scotty Reed, he's gonna talk more about the SNAP program.
Thank you. Trump administration, like every administration before it, is targeting the SNAP program that provides millions of Americans with food assistance. The last time the program suffered cuts was during the Obama administration, but Democrats typically only make noise about the cuts when there is a Republican in the White House. The Trump administration is proposing that instead of funds for food being placed on a debit card that can be used at local grocers, it wants to start purchasing food in bulk at lower prices that would be placed in food boxes and delivered to clients of the SNAP program. However, the proposal does not budget for delivery service of the food boxes, which could cost more depending upon the cost of fuel. Current USDA requirements say that able-bodied adults without children can only get 3 months of food stamps in 3 years unless they work or participate in a job training program at least 20 hours a week. USDA would likely not change that requirement, but could grant states waivers to impose stricter requirements at the state level. The USDA's budget proposal says the agency plans for 1.4 million fewer people to receive benefits in 2019. Under the guise of being helpful, the Harvest Food Box is a sham that takes away healthy food, replacing it with fewer choices, says Monica Mills, Executive Director of Food Policy Action. In addition, we must also fight against the other proposed eligibility and benefit cuts to SNAP that are just as radical and likely to gain traction in Congress. These budget proposals for SNAP are the wrong way to go to provide healthy, safe, affordable food for all. Now, also said that the program is designed to help vulnerable populations like veterans returning from combat or seasonal workers who would lose benefits if they aren't working for several months. When considering that a UN task force recently declared that parts of the United States are facing what it called third world poverty conditions and food insecurity, the right thing to do would be to expand the SNAP program, not come up with creative ways to prevent more people from getting assistance. This has been Scotty Reed of BTR News reporting. Support independent media today by giving a tax-deductible donation to the Black Talk Media Project, which has been providing public digital media since 2008.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is a presentation of Freedom Marketing Incorporated. All rights reserved. Views and comments expressed are not necessarily the views of the host and or this station.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Coast to coast, on air, online, and on point. Have you checked out Tanya Free TV on Ustream? Watch our radio broadcast live and catch up on past video podcasts. Download the app or go to Ustream.tv to follow Tanya Free and Friends. Stay in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or text the word Tanya to 63975. Join the conversation. Tanya Free and Friends, on air, online, on point. Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
You can't even run.
I want to thank my friend Scotty Reed for that wonderful commentary. We're on the same page today, Scotty. Check him out at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Okay. I want to also give a shout out to my friend Benita Johnson and George Hossville for a fantastic exclusive Blacklist weekend. Hope you got a chance to check it out. It was wonderful. The galas, the symposiums, supporting African Americans in the wine industry. And our friends James Gates and Marcus Johnson gave stellar performances. I truly enjoyed it. So go to the vinewineclub.com to stay in the know about upcoming events. That's the vinewineclub.com, okay? We want to also recognize that we're highlighting the jazz flow of Marcus Evans. Marcus Johnson, excuse me. I don't know why I'm thinking about Marcus Evans over there. Marcus Johnson throughout the show today, who won the People's Choice Award for his Flow Red Wine. I'm not going to say we got a couple bottles here. So, that's Marcus Johnson. That's Flow Red Wine. So, can you get it on, if you go to the website? Okay, if you go to the Vine Wine Club. .com, okay? And you guess you can order some bottles of that and also Benita's wine as well? Okay. Okay, so check it out. That's the vinewineclub.com, okay? I'm going to go to another topic that was very disturbing to me. This New York student whose name happened to be Marcus Xavier, he's graduating and he wanted to put Malcolm Xavier, I don't know why to say Malcolm, look at you. Malcolm Xavier, and he wanted to put his name on his sweater, Malcolm X, and the school said it was inappropriate. I am still trying to understand that. If that is his name, what is the problem?
Fear of the past, fear of the truth.
Well, I'm trying to say, how can you deny him putting his name on the shirt, if that's what you're doing, putting the names on the shirt.
Suppression of the truth.
I still don't understand that. His name is Malcolm.
And his last name is Xavier. So he can put Malcolm X on there, but like I said, people don't want, again, we're getting back to that liberty and justice for all. They don't want you to be on equal playing field. They don't want you to be in a position to have a voice, so they want to suppress it.
That history is not a popular one.
Right.
Exactly.
The majority, we're talking about someone's name.
That name happens to have a very close connection. At least in appearance. The optics are, you ain't talking about Malcolm Xavier. The optics are, you're talking about Malcolm X. Okay, now we're talking about this, what they view this radical Islamic
Muslim, may have had ties.
There's a lot of problems with that conversation when it comes down to the other side of the coin. And they don't want that history being retold.
And I'll just say
let
this.
Let it die. They want it to die out.
They were saying,
let it go.
Okay, I guess let me put it this way. What legal grounds do they have to deny him?
That's my question. That's the issue.
I don't care what the history has
been.
We have schools, you know, with Confederate names, Robert E. Lee, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if there ever was a time,
traitors to the country.
Right. And so you're telling me you cannot have someone whose name is Malcolm Xavier and he wants to put just Malcolm X on it. That's his name and that's his right.
Yeah.
How do you deny someone that?
Tell him no. That's what it is.
And the same thing. And we'll go back to the original Malcolm X. They stick the FBI on him, and the only he was out there was doing was telling the truth to the people, letting them know and educating them. So when they want to suppress you, they're going to go to whatever extremes they need to suppress you. So that's what they're doing with this young man. That's his real name. They're saying, no, we don't even want you to put your real name out there. Malcolm X, back in the day, they said, all right, FBI, go find something on him.
Who did Malcolm X, kill in the day? And that
you
they
are
feel
telling an unpopular truth on this country.
You shame on you.
Well, I guess I have a the issue.
How
that
dare
I
you call
well,
me out for who
well,
I am?
Well, wait a minute. This is what we're talking about when they want to call Black Lives Matter a terrorist group.
Right.
How we allow them to shut
network.
Us down. How we allow them to shut us down. That's what gets me. You know, if I were the parents of this student, I would find the best lawyer that I can possibly find and take this to whatever court it has. This is something that we as a people should be getting rallying around.
I agree.
How are you going to deny someone their name? I don't care what his name is.
He wanted his name on a
sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt, yeah.
He's a senior?
You said New York?
He's a senior.
You said New York?
New York, yes.
Where's Al Sharpton?
Al Sharpton is involved. He has gotten involved. His organization, they are involved. Yes.
Okay. If they push a thing and they want to go to court with it, by the time he gets to court, he'd be a junior in college. So what?
Well, I don't care what he is in college. I think this is the principle of the matter.
It is.
Because you're going to have other students. You know, that's almost like saying you cannot name your child this because. And the question would be, will that hinder him from getting a job?
It depends on who wants to hire him. If liberty and justice for all, if he's on the same playing field and they look at him for his education and he's a smart kid and he knows what he's doing, then he should get hired. But because his name is Malcolm X and they don't, that's racism. And that's my biggest issue. If you ask me, you go on my Facebook page and say, Brian, what would you get rid of on this earth of everything that's on this earth? I say racism because that's the dividing factor. That's the thing that's going on right now. I just want equality and that's a big thing. And I think that is racism. This was happening to that young man. That's his name. That's what his parents gave him. He should be able to put it on his shirt.
Right, and that's I'm still trying to find out what is the legal basis, the legal grounds that they can stand on with regards to this.
I don't believe there's a legal ground at all. But like I said, that name, when he abbreviates his last name from Xavier just to the X, that name brings up a torrid part of the American history that they, and I do use the word they, that they do not want retold, especially if you have the ability to tell your own story.
Right.
They don't have a problem with you telling the truth as long as it's their truth. They don't want the truth. When you tell them, you get into that, talk about who this person was and what, no, this man has the potential to start a riot here. He's digging into some things we don't want to have dug into. So, no, you cannot do that.
But see, that's not the problem. The problem I have with it is that he's just trying to show his name.
Right.
He's not telling a story. Is that correct?
Right. All he's doing is putting his name. Now, his parents may have thought that. I don't know. But I don't care what the reason is. If his name is Malcolm Xavier and he wants to put just Malcolm, the X on there without, you know, the full name, so what? That should be his choice.
It is.
Right.
You know, that's the part that bothers me. And like I said, what legal basis do they have in order, you know, to enforce that?
Well, from an educational standpoint, they'll probably go to the right and say, hey, look, if what you're doing has the ability to disrupt the educational process, it will be denied here on these grounds.
Right.
That's a school's
they just put it out there.
That's exactly how they're going to place this thing.
Or maybe they could run the clock out on him.
Yeah,
he graduates from
like
high school.
He'll be
and
gone.
Then they ain't got to deal with it. Once he graduates, oh, he's gone.
Right.
It's over.
Yeah, clock play.
Yep, clock. Yeah. They're running the clock out.
His parents named him after Malcolm X. They did. So even if they named him after Malcolm X,
now you know why Black History Month is still important.
That's his name.
Now you know why Black History Month is still so important.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. But the thing is this. That's still his name.
It is.
So I don't care who they named him after. If you have, you know, some other kid, a white kid, and they name him Robert E. Lee.
Well.
Are you going to deny him that? I mean, that's his name. That's his name.
Yeah, that's the boy's name.
That's the difference, Tanya Free, that you see most African-Americans don't have a problem with somebody being named after something. All we're looking for is to have equal footing or equal share at the table or be looked at equally. And that's where the problem comes in. They don't want you to have what you need to have to be equal with them. And that's they're taking away from you, but they're saying, okay, Robert Lee, you can put your name on there, but no, Malcolm X, you can't do that.
See, to put the name Robert Lee in the black neighborhood, that shouldn't be offensive.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of slavery. That's what it is. But to put the name Malcolm X on something, you know, in a predominantly white neighborhood, oh, we're offended by that. How are you offended? Because we know who he was, and we don't feel like hearing the history again, because that's going to give y'all black folks a chance to cheer for something. And it's going to buy, if you're cheering for it, it makes us look bad. And it should, because what happened out there just was not done right. Everybody knows the story and the history behind this. Everybody don't want to be reminded of it, though. You don't want to be reminded about who Malcolm X was and what he stood for real, and what he was talking about. People don't want to be reminded of that.
Well, I think it goes even a step further. That's still, once again, a way of keeping us down, telling us what we can and cannot
do. Yes, it is. Exactly.
You know, and that's why I am more adamant of the fact that his parents should get the best lawyer that they could afford. Or I think that we have wonderful minds in the legal profession that, you know, should take it. Pro bono,
like Brian said, they'll run a clock play on that. They'll run the clock out. That's why I asked: is he a senior? Is he a high school senior?
By the time he sees this day,
if they go the court route, by the time he sees his day in court with this, he'll be in college as a junior.
Yeah, but you have other students that will come behind him, to let it just go and not do anything or say anything. I just think that that will be a mistake, and it's no different than with Black Lives Matter. Why aren't we standing up for Black Lives Matter when we allow folks to tell us, oh, it's a terrorist group? No, it's not. Black Lives Matter is not a terrorist group. No, the folks that we're fighting is more like a terrorist group, you know, if anything. So, we got to go already? Okay, today's jazz break is My Funny Valentine by Marcus Johnson, sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip, and the Maggie L. Walker class of 66 is heading to Maryland Live Casino and Arundel Mills Mall Saturday, March 17th. The mighty Green Dragons are inviting all our members and all our friends and family to join us for a day of shopping and fun. Round-trip coach transportation, casino bonus, and more included for only $50 per person. So don't delay. We need your non-refundable 25 by February 10th. Contact Van Archer at 804-389-3430, Jack Morgan at 804-519-7283, and Calvin Raspberry at 804-683-5709. Join us!
There are so many ways to listen at Peachtree Radio FM. Go to rsgame.org, download the RS Game web client while playing your game, press Control B and arrow down to Peachtree Radio FM. Also, dial a telephone number 641-552-5194. Download the Peachtree Radio FM app from the App Store and Google Play Store. Listen at Peachtree Radio FM on TuneIn Radio, iBlink Radio, and the new website, PeachtreeRadioFM.net. There are so many ways to listen at Peachtree Radio FM. Well, some listen to remember and some listen to forget.
Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
I want to welcome with us now Pastor Foote with Faith and Love Fellowship Church, the 105, the Choice 105.3. Going to tell us about a wonderful event that's coming this weekend. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Pastor Foote, welcome.
Wow, thank you so much, Ms. Tanya Free. It's really a pleasure to be here this afternoon. And first, I want to say Happy New Year to you, because I don't
you.
Think I've seen any of you since the New Year. Happy
thank
New Year
you.
To
Same
everyone.
To you.
And Happy Valentine's
Day. Yes,
you look
you
like
so
Miss Valentine, the Queen. But anyway, I'm going to do what I'm commissioned to do by my son, Minister Tiger. He said, Daddy, I want you to take these two tickets down as a giveaway. We have a great event coming up on Saturday, February the 17th at 7 p.m., and you are on that.
Yes,
you're
I
on
am.
That ticket.
Yes, I
amen.
Am.
Amen.
Looking forward to
amen.
It.
Amen. And we're looking for a great time. We got two tickets giveaway, and we want you to come out on Saturday and enjoy the wonderful time. And it's ladies' night. It's the ladies' night queen.
You can wear red.
And the kings are going to be in place for
you. There
you
go. Okay, okay, okay. That sounds good. And it's going to be this Saturday, the 17th?
Yes, the Saturday of February 17th at 7 p.m.
Okay.
On the campus of Faith and Love Fellowship
okay.
Church.
Okay, and what time?
At 7 p.m.
Okay, and the tickets are?
The tickets are absolutely inexpensive.
Okay,
$12 in advance, $15 at the door, and $10 for 10 or more as a group.
Okay, okay. And we're going to give away two tickets. I'm going to put them on the my Facebook page and want someone to, you know, enjoy the evening for two. I think it is a wonderful time, especially if you didn't do anything for Valentine's. You got to do a little makeup.
Right.
Yeah, come try to get these tickets. I think it would be wonderful.
That's it. We got to take care of the ladies. I just went on and bought a dozen roses for
my wife.
For co-pastor. I wouldn't go home without them.
That's right. You better not.
After 48 years, you know what to do.
Well, let me ask you this. This event is to celebrate you all being on the air or having the station for a year.
Absolutely. It's a part of that Minister Tiger, our son, who launched a radio station now a year ago. It's coming up on a year right now sit together celebrating 12 months of hard work and focusing on things that are important and certainly doing God's will. The station has been a blessing for us, a blessing for the ministry, a blessing to the community, a voice for the community, and we intend and hopefully to do greater things in time to come.
Yeah, it's such a blessing, and the station is 105.3,
The Choice Network, WQCN, The Choice Network, 105.3 FM.
Okay, and we hope everyone will come out this Saturday,
yes, ma'am,
the 17th. At 7 o'clock, and give the address one more time.
That address is 141 East Belt Boulevard, Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Looking forward to everyone being there. That is a heck of a celebration. I mean, that's something to be proud of. I mean, have a station. First of all, to have a station.
That's
and
true.
And then, two, to really, really have a station that you can hear. This is FM.
FM.
So this is a blessing.
Well, you know, Tanya, we feel honored from God, not because... we understand everything that we embark upon, but one thing we know, we're chosen to do what we do, and God order our steps.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Well, we're looking forward to it. So go to my website. We're going to put the two tickets on there and give away two tickets. And, you know, want everybody to, we're going to have a wonderful time. Looking forward to it. Really, I'm looking forward to
it. Yes,
ma'am. I want to say happy Valentine's to everybody, because I don't believe I said that. Did I say that earlier? In case I didn't, happy Valentine's to everyone. And, you know, one thing about Valentine's Day, we as women look forward to giving roses and that sort of thing. But I think, too, you all like to have something, you know, given to you all as well. Usually I do a card and maybe a dinner or whatever. But how do you feel about Valentine's Day? Brian, I'm going to go to you first, because you just... You're newlywed, right?
I'm a newlywed, 18 months. Love my wife. Can't say it's been roses every day, but that's just part of us getting to know each other. And we have to be on the same footing and same ground. But, yes, I'm just happy to be married to a good, godly woman who loves Jesus Christ. And that's the key. Everything else, he's going to work it out as time goes on. I'm not asking to get into something and it be fixed in one day. Marriage, and you get the next day, everything is perfect. It's a process, and it takes time. So
it takes two as well.
And it takes two. And you got to be a team. But he's got to come first, and
right.
we'll come second. And a lot of couples out there, that'll be my mantra for you, is that if you got God first, he'll take care of you and your spouse. But if he's not first, it's not going to work. So, but I'm excited. I'm happy. This is a good woman. She loves the Lord. And that's all I care about.
I can
about.
Tell, because you made sure you put those words, happy Valentine's Day.
I love my wife.
But you said anything else, you're like, hey, I'm going to wish her happy Valentine's. Yes, no question about it.
My wife is down in Williamsburg, and I'm proud of her and excited. And I know God's got some great things in store for us. So I'm just waiting for him to show us what the rest of the plan is. So I'm going to turn it over to this gentleman right here.
Well, I know LG's wife, but I want you to talk about your wife, because she is a wonderful woman.
She's special. She's very special.
How long have y'all been married?
Going to 6 years.
Okay.
Six years.
Wonderful.
January 17.
Okay. Karen is a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's a very special person. She's a godly woman also.
Yeah, she just put on a wonderful play.
Yeah, she did.
Christmas. It was excellent.
She loves God, as I said. And we're really enjoying this marriage. We really are. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of sitting down, talking, and enjoying each other.
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah.
Yep, that is key. No question about that.
Yes.
Yeah, you better be nice. I know your wife, too. Sharon, She's listening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's listening. I called her up.
She probably is. She probably is. She knows I'm on the air today. Wow. I feel like the old week.
How long have you been married?
I got 14 years in the game right now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Marriage is interesting. I mean, I joke about it all the time. It's a full-time job.
It is.
There's no days off. There's
right,
no breaks.
No.
There's none of that.
24/7. I mean,
you're constantly on the clock. If you're going to be on the clock like that, you better make sure you're with somebody you actually like to be with. Because the things that come around a relationship, they can run out.
Mm-hmm.
You better make sure you're grounded with somebody that you're going to be with. If things are not lined up well, you better learn how to get them back in order. Because your relationship can dwindle. When your relationship breaks a little bit, everything around you falls apart. So I got a good one. I got a good one. And like I said, it'll be 14 years in this coming June. I'm sorry, actually this July. And she's a business partner. That business now is being business close to 10 years this coming April. We've seen the ups and downs and everything.
And it's going to be ups and downs. I don't care what.
It's designed to be that way, to be honest with you. We've seen the ups and downs in business, seen the ups and downs in my school. We've seen the ups and downs in the house, the relationship. We've seen it all. And through everything, rock solid. Like I said, my girl's from Highland Park. I got a down chick, straight up. Sharon is the one.
Well, she got her hands full, no question.
She got her hands full.
No question about that.
If she could put up with me, I'd tip my hat to her all day long.
I know Sharon. Now, Pastor Foots, you said 49 years for you. I bet your wife, she's a lovely one, a lovely first lady. No question about that.
Absolutely. My wife is... as my brother said, very special. We are high school sweethearts.
Okay, wow.
And we graduated from high school in North Carolina together more than 50 years ago. And
wow.
We're still together. And she's a very smart woman.
Mm-hmm.
She teaches college for Bryan and Scranton. She teaches at Virginia Union.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a career woman. And she inspired me to even do more. Men can be a little different. They can be a little laid back because we are known to be a little bit of followers. But to get a good woman help enhances that and help empower us to be equally yoked in that area that we can certainly have a great life together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm convinced that in all of these years, the greatest blessing is unity.
Right.
In a relationship, being able to, to come to a common understanding and to stand on a common ground. I often explain marriage to counseling to people in relationship. I say there's three towels, 12-inch towels, I say. And when you get married, you're standing on one 12-inch towel, and he's standing on another. There's an empty one in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn how to put our foot on that empty towel, each one of us, and unify our minds, heart, soul, so we can build our lives based on each other, carnality, spiritually, and well-being. So I never stop growing.
Mm-hmm. I think we all continue to grow.
Yeah,
never stop. In marriage, you continue. It's a growing process constantly, no matter how old you get. You know,
yeah.
I think that's one of the things. It's a growing process. So, well, let me say something else. Today is also Ash Wednesday, which is far more important than anything else we can celebrate or talk about. And I was trying to think as to what it was. The praying and constantly praying, but what was I going to fast? You know, because I don't eat a whole lot of anything. I don't eat meat or anything other than a little bit of seafood, a little bit of chicken. But couldn't figure out what it was, and it came to me as to what it is I was going to give up and sacrifice. So, do you all practice Ash Wednesday around the table?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I have in the past. I haven't determined if I'm going to do it this year or not. I may. But it's going to have to be some serious thought about what to
A sacrifice.
To cut, yeah. Right. You got to put some real energy into trying to figure out what it is you're going to make the cut and the sacrifice with.
Okay. Pastor, is that
something you... I'll pass on that.
Okay. We got to take a break and we'll be right back.
You know, most people think of Rosa Parks as the first person to refuse to give up their seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. There were actually several women who came before her, one of whom was Claudette Colvin. My name is Aaliyah Cook, and I'm living Life with a Purpose with Tanya Free and Friends.
Tanya Free and Friends celebrate Black History 365 days a year. Live life with a purpose with Tanya Free and Friends. The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Marion Marketing Global. You know those guys over at Marion Marketing Global? They can do everything from billboards to bus signs. Marion Marketing Global, changing the world and expanding your brand every day, each day. Marion Marketing Global, 804-938-5218. Check us out on the web at marionmarketingglobal.com.
Are you ready for a sinfully sensual Valentine's Day weekend affair? Then you're ready for Kim.
So how did you find your way back in my life?
Eric Benet.
I wanna be loved.
Demetria McKinney.
I ain't no stuck-up chick. I ain't picky. I just want what's best for me.
And Gerald Albright. Sunday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Henson Coliseum. Tickets on sale at the Coliseum box office and all Ticketmaster locations with a special discount for military with ID. For more info, visit ValentineWeekendAffair.com. Set the mood for a night of love with a Valentine's Day weekend affair featuring Kim. Eric Benet, Gerald Albright, and Demetria McKinney. Presented by C&T Productions. Don't wait. Get your tickets now.
The Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is sponsored in part by
Furniture at the Venus. Hi, I'm Chocolate Chip, and your home is the place that says the most about who you are. Furniture at the Venus has a huge selection of styles that make a statement. Visit our showroom at 1420 Hall Street, Suite A, and check out our full line with dining room sets, living rooms, and bedroom sets, and more. Be sure to ask about our weekly Tanya Free and Friends specials on everything in the store, including king and queen mattresses, sets to fit any budget. With new arrivals daily, let Charles and Nancy Shaw show you their complete line of home furnishings and accessories. Give them a call at 804-232-3500. That's 804-232-3500. That's Furniture at the Venus, 1420 Hall Street, in the heart of Southside Richmond.
Thank you.
conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Pastor, but you wanted to weigh in on the story we were talking about with regards to the young man whose name was Malcolm Xavier and wanted to put Malcolm X on his shirt. He basically, my understanding, he's abbreviating his middle name. Okay. And if that is his name, that's on his birth certificate, I'm still struggling with how you can deny somebody their name.
Well, Tanya, quickly, I just want to say this quickly. I want to give a shout-out back to Minister Tiger back at the station WQCN, the Choice Network. Amen. Celebrating 1 year. But I want to say this in relevant. We here in America are still struggling with change, even though we've come so far. And when we mention the name of these people who have been so instrumental in moving America, we still don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear about Malcolm X. We really don't want to hear about Dr. King. We don't want to hear about Mega Evans. We don't want to hear about anybody who has imposed change in America. No different than the Pharisees and the scribes, amen, wanted to hear about Jesus when John and Peter then was healing. They said, well, how are you healing? Through the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, these young people today, some of them are still recognizing that people, mentors such as Malcolm X, made a difference in America. So I feel like that it's just a slap in the face still when these young folks rising up, taking the audacity and the privilege to speak out, no different than young folks are rising up to speak about ministry. They want to lock them up. I see it all over the country. When they rise up and radical, they're ready to lock them up. Mm-hmm. For what? You talk about Jesus, you believe in Jesus, you ready to lock us up for that? You talk about Malcolm X, you ready to lock us up because we want to put
Black
a shirt on?
Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely, but we're still in America struggling against what should have been done away with.
Right, and at what point are we going to, I just feel that we still, at this point, we're too quiet. Because I mentioned, you know, Rosa Parks, you know, when she wouldn't give up her seat and she was adamant about making change. Dr. King, adamant about making change. Where are we now being adamant about making change?
The pastor said a great thing just now about who are we going to speak up? Are we going to do the right thing? I think the playing field still is not equal.
Of course it's
not. And that's why I keep going back. I've said it at least four times in your show today. Liberty and justice for we don't have it. We got young kids coming up now. We need to tell these young kids, don't sit there and be silent. Speak up for your rights, but know what you're talking about. Don't just speak up and you're ignorant to the fact. Know your facts. Speak up and stand up for your rights, and then we'll have some young, strong.
Where are we? Where are we giving them that support?
As parents, all I could do is speak for my household. That's the way I do. I teach my sons to speak up, but have your facts. Go in with your facts so nobody can say you're wrong or make you look bad or make you look like a fool. You want to go in there and be significant, have something to say. And that's my point is basically is to, I'll say this to youth of America, stand up, speak up for what's right. Don't sit back there and let injustice happen and you're quiet and silent. No, speak up if it's wrong, but have your facts together and you can make change. There's a whole bunch of Malcolms and Martins out there. They're in high school right now. They're in college right now. They just need
all
to know
Baracks.
That all Baracks. And yes,
my question is, we've been talking about this during the break, Moses. Yeah. Had this young man's name been Barack, you know, Oscar or something, he wanted to put Barack O on there, would they prohibit him from putting that on his shirt?
I don't know. That's kind of hard to say one way or the other.
Well, even if they did, still, his legal name, whatever it is on his certificate, that is his name.
It is. What's on is on his shirt or sweater, whatever the case is, it's not inflammatory, it's not derogatory, it's not accusatory, it's not overtly offensive. It is his legalized name.
Right.
And it's not like you're putting a name out there that's just, you know, over the top, like, I can't believe your mother named you that. No. His name is Malcolm Xavier. Right. There's no reason to try to block this other than having the opportunity to tell a very unpopular truth about this country that your counterparts are in no way, shape, or form interested in you continuing to tell it.
Well, other than Al Sharpton and his organization, where are the other black organizations, NAACP? I have Love not seen, I have not read. Al Sharpton is the only one. His organization is the only one that I read that was actually getting behind this story.
When did this happen?
Why can't it just be?
I read it Monday. So I don't know when it happened. I read it on Monday.
Why can't it be a strong black man to just stand up and speak his mind and say, this is not right? It doesn't have to be an organization in my mind. If you stand up for what's right, you stand up for what's right.
That's happening now, but there's no voice behind that.
Yeah.
And I've said on this show many times, the majority of you are trying to find that black leader to stand out front and get out there. You know what? When you see enough of your black leaders get gunned down in the street, cold blood with the cameras on them almost, guess what? That is enough to get the rest of y'all. You don't have to get in line, but you will shut up. Do you feel like being the next one with your head peeled off? If not, you can grumble all you want to in your corner, but if you come out here, we have case after case of what can happen to you. And that is enough to keep people silent.
But you know, I just like to chime in on that. That's because we're living in a different generation. Back during the 60s era, where all of the great people, a lot of them, rose up, they were fearless. They cared. The Ralph H. Brand, the Angela Davis, they didn't care about life. They were ready to die for what they believed. Today,
I agree with you. I agree with you, Pastor. But here's where the line gets drawn in the sand. They were fearless until they started seeing them get knocked down. And then when that happened, and then you go after the US organization, then you go after the Black Panthers, and you wipe them out. Mm-hmm. There's no one who says, you know what? I'm fearless, but I don't remember what happened. No, you remember what happened. You saw it yourself. You're still fearless, but you can keep your mouth shut. You'll rally in the shadows. You'll keep it a little quiet. You'll allow it to fester overnight. But this getting out on Front Street and beating the bushes and pointing the finger and really pulling the wool back and telling the truth on people, that has become very unpopular because it can end in death many times.
But there's other ways. Yeah.
There are other ways.
I don't like that fear.
They come out in knee-deep times. You do have groups that come out.
Right.
Yeah. And then they are immediately discredited, like the Black Lives Matter movement. They're immediately discredited. See, if I discredit you, I don't have to shoot you. I don't want to shoot you.
Shame on us for allowing us. And see, go back to Colin Kaepernick. We did not get behind him like we should have. The truth be told, I mean, really, we did not get behind him like we should have.
I give him credit because
for the mere fact he got on his knee all by himself.
He went by himself.
I mean, as far as numbers are concerned,
as far as the fear factor is concerned, that man is a bet, and I know my football, and people in Richmond know who I love football, but there was at least 10 to 12 quarterbacks still in the NFL that Colin Kaepernick was better than. Yeah. He was blackballed out just for his stance. Because all Colin Kaepernick was saying was the same thing we were just talking about, people getting their heads peeled back.
Right.
They
he
wanted police
sacrifice.
Brutality. Yeah. So he gave up an NFL career and millions of dollars because all he was asking for, which again, I go back to my subject, liberty and justice for us to be on the same playing field.
So what you do is you go in there, you discredit the man as much as you possibly can.
And that's what they did.
Cast a shadow on him.
But
if they lose
this.
10% of a market share that's worth $6 billion a year, ain't nobody broke.
The thing is this. There's power in numbers.
Yes.
And if we pull together, get behind Colin Kaepernick, there are a lot of things. I believe with Rosa Parks and when they boycotted the bus system, that got folks' attention.
It did.
You know, that's what I'm talking about with numbers.
It was a small bus system that was almost heavily dependent on the black riders for their income. You're talking about 12% of the U.S. population. Let's say if half the U.S. population actually watched football on a regular basis, and it's probably less than that. You only make up 12% of the U.S. population. This is six big. You're going to knock out probably somewhere about 10, maybe 50% of a $6 billion corporation.
Then we
that's
find
money lost.
Something.
They feel that, but they're not broke. It's an acceptable loss to them to get that.
Well, but they have lost some viewership and some
game,
dollars
and the
because things were
going.
Not. Yeah, but it wasn't like it has been in the past,
no,
and I believe
no.
they are feeling it.
They made a dent, but let me go further. There's some people who are born in life. They have gifts. Some people have boldness. Some people are meek. Some people are humble. There are people who stood up and said, hey, I'm not going to watch any NFL games. I'm one of them. I didn't do it. And, uh-huh. And I love my football, but I said because I'm standing up for something that I think is right. But there's some people who said no matter what, they're going to still watch football. They're still going to watch, root for their team, and that's just the way they are.
Yeah.
There's leaders, there's born leaders, and there's people that will stand up for what's right, and there's some people that will just go along with the game plan
I think it did make a dent, but you put a dent inside of a tank. Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than somebody throwing rocks at this thing. You're going to have to really get out there and prove some stuff. Is it possible to do it? I completely think that it is.
It is.
Can I say this? But it's going to take more than what was proposed last season.
It'll take more than one person, two people.
It's going to take more than one people.
It's going to take
some big dollar people, mm-hmm. and it's going to take some truths coming out to really shame and discredit. See, when you have that kind of money, it's easy to discredit someone who doesn't have that kind of money.
Exactly.
When I have the kind of money you have, if I have something there, if I want to discredit you, it's going to be hard for you to
fight.
Well,
maybe you can't sacrifice on that level, but maybe you can sacrifice on another level. As far as maybe giving up something, like we've had some of the businesses, the pizza restaurants and different things.
The majority of the NFL is all black players. Pull out, start your own league.
Can I say something?
I wish I could.
Quick, if you don't mind. When I talk about fear, we probably see fear in so many different ways, but when I talk about fear, in the beginning of the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. people were closer to God. Mm-hmm. They operated in a godly, intent to achieve things. Today, because we've alienated ourselves so far, even from the church, from the biblical teaching, until we have lost the real direction to band together. See, that's as Tanya say, when you unify things,
right.
people come together. See, and that's the way they work, like in community. Years ago, everybody had everybody back. Today,
right.
you live in community. Nobody knows who back is who.
Right.
That was part of the plan.
We so far apart.
That was part of the plan.
Though. Right. The same way with church. As a whole, we stop going to church. We start participating in other areas. Listen, when you alienate yourself from God, God alienates himself from you. You
got to
gravitate
that
back.
That makes a difference.
You know what I'm saying? Back to that point where God can be the head of our life, and he'll open that door, and we won't be fearful when we have a job to achieve.
And I'll say something real quick about church. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm proud to say I'm a believer. Been since I was 28 years old. The church has seen so much devastation from people in high positions. My thing is to the young people out there who see all this and say, oh, the church is corrupt. This pastor's done this. He's had a relationship with these women. They're doing drugs or whatever they're doing. Find another church.
Yes.
Go somewhere where the word is being preached properly, and then we could band together. Because there are some churches out there that the leadership is not doing the right thing. And that's where the youth of America needs to know that there is churches out there that has great leadership, and that will band us together.
We're going to leave it right there. As always, I thank God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. Of course, thanks to Pastor Foote, Moses, Algie, Brian, Niles, Noah, Marcus, Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. And remember to live life with a purpose.
Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show is a presentation of Freedom Marketing Incorporated. All rights reserved. Views and comments expressed are not necessarily the views of the host and or this station.